Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to First Baptist Church. Good to see you all here this morning. They asked me to do announcements. I open with prayer, and then I have a couple of things to go over with you. But welcome to our church, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can meet together here again this Sunday. We thank you that you've brought Pastor and his family back home safely. We hope that they had a good, restful week and that Pastor made some new friends down there at the conference and learned some new things. We hope for that. I'm sure you'll tell us a little bit about it. We thank you we have this Christmas program in your name a month later because we couldn't be here last month, Lord, as you know. We thank you for that today. We ask you to be with this church in the days ahead and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. And be with those who could not be here this morning. Thank you. Amen. All right. Good morning. Today, the Lord told us to love everybody, but today is also National Compliment Day. So make sure you give your wife or family or friends a compliment sometime today. And for all of the peanut butter lovers, today is National Peanut Butter Day. I won't mention the third one because we Baptists don't get into the beer can favorite thing. And we won't get into that. If you'll take your bulletin on the backside, there are some announcements. We're still doing the coat drive, so if you'd like to bring some mittens, gloves, boots, coats, whatever, bring them to church, and we'd appreciate that. I'm not sure how much longer, Pastor, are we going to do the coat drive? All winter? I haven't heard a date. Well, just if you have anything, just please bring it in. There's a need in our community for that. We have a quarterly business meeting tonight. We appreciate if you could be here for the members, take care of the last 3 months and what is going to be ahead of us. Missionary committee meeting will be Tuesday at 10 a.m. for anybody on the missionary committee. Be aware of that this coming Tuesday. Ladies Bible study, February 6th at 10 a.m. That's on a Saturday at the hall. Our evening service today, please come and join us. 5 to 5:30 is prayer time, and then Dave will lead us. Pastor Dave over here will lead us tonight. Is that correct, or is it going to be you? You're doing it tonight. Okay, I wasn't sure if he had you on duty tonight or not. Okay. And then the baby bottle, Jan talked about this last week, Jan Cage, our missionary committee chairperson. Back there on the table, you'll find these. What we do is we fill these up with our change or dollar bills, and it goes to Life Resources. She told us all about that last week. If you have any questions, see Jan. You raise your hand, Jan. She's up here somewhere. There she is. Just check with Jan or any of the. She's fine because we did this last year too. It's a very worthy project. Okay, and then I think that's it. We're going to turn it over to whoever's in charge, your pastor. I know you just. What day did you get back? Friday, Saturday, huh? Thursday. Okay, yes. I wasn't sure. All right, thank you. Good to have you back. You bet. I see we have a special guest.
Yes, finally. So I won't pull a Lion King, too bad, at least. So it's been 4 months officially since Eileen was born, and she has been eating every service since then. This is the first time she hasn't been, well, that she can be here. So I wanted to introduce her to everybody, to her church family, and say it's really interesting, and I'm gonna try not to take very long. You know, you go on vacation, not to get away from any issues or anything, but just to get away and relax. And we get all the way down to Florida, and the first thing we think of is I miss home. I miss our people. Sunday wasn't the same without being with you guys. So while it was a good trip, it's great to be back. I'm gonna move this so I can keep bumping. Great to be back with you all. Thank you for your prayers, for safe travels and everything. As far as we know, everything went well, and if it didn't, they didn't tell us. So it's good to be here. We're gonna do things a little out of order. You see the bulletin's a little different. Oh, it's fine. We're going to sing hymn number 123, O Come Emmanuel, just the first three verses. And we'll do so standing. We're not going to have the scripture reading, and we'll go right into the offertory afterwards. So stand with me as we sing hymn number 123, O Come Emmanuel. Ready? I think. Yeah. O come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel, that morning.
Sometimes in holy exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
And on the third,
O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Thank you for your singing this morning. You may be seated. And before we get into the offertory this morning, it is a little different to be doing a Christmas program in the, well, towards the end of January, but we figured since we weren't able to have services during December, we'll just do Christmas a little later. I mean, we don't know what day he was actually born anyways, so we're going to assume today it was January 24th. At this time, where the men come from this morning's tithe and offerings. And Jacob, can you grab the plates from over there, please? Thank you. Yeah? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day that we've been given, that you've allowed us to come here to worship you with our Christmas program and our singing and our praying together and our giving. I pray, Father, that you'd bless both the gift and the giver and those that cannot give. Use these monies that are given to further your kingdom both here and abroad. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Your offertory unto the Lord this morning. At this time, with those that are part of the Christmas program, please come up and get ready. And bear with us for just a few moments as we do so.
The entrance of sin into the world meant that there would need to be some plan of redemption. God already had a plan. Throughout history, God gave us glimpses of the salvation that would come. When God's people wandered, he sent prophets who warned the people of the consequences of their choices. God also promised to send a righteous king who would reign over a perfect, everlasting kingdom. Because the people followed after that which God said was wrong, Jerusalem fell, the temple was destroyed, and the people were sent into exile. Then God fell silent. The silence lasted for four long centuries. Mary, a young girl of Nazareth, was to marry Joseph, a carpenter. They would be God's choice to fulfill the ancient prophecies. God sent the angel Gabriel to Mary. She was told that she would have a baby whose father would be God. Even though Mary questioned this message, she realized that nothing is impossible for God. During this same time, Joseph, who was engaged to Mary, was seeking reassurance as to what he should do. God sent an angel assuring him that he should go ahead with the marriage. Mary would have a baby, and they were to call him Jesus.
So what these things could mean. Confusion in his mind makes a little sleep a welcome thing.
As Jesus as an angel from God steps into his dream.
The angel quiets his fears with the wonderful message he brings. You'll call him Jesus, for he shall save the world from sin. You'll call him Jesus, the name from heaven God that sent. You'll call him Jesus, for he shall be the sinner's friend. Jesus, blessed Jesus, call him Jesus.
Joseph then awoke, wondering at the message given to him. The promised one from God would be raised as his nearest kin. Suddenly he knew his confusion was near an end. He'd go to Mary and tell her just what the angel told him. You'll call him Jesus, for he shall save the world from sin. You'll call him Jesus, the name from heaven God did send. You'll call him Jesus, for he shall be the sinner's friend. Jesus, blessed Jesus, call him Jesus.
Mary and Joseph got married and waited for the fulfillment of the angel's message. Then the emperor ordered that all of his subjects needed to go to their hometown to be taxed. For Mary and Joseph, this meant a trip to Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the lineage of David. A long and dangerous journey of about 90 miles. Normally, people could travel about 20 miles a day. It would be very difficult, especially for Mary, who was nearing the delivery of the baby.
Many moonless nights, cold and weary, the babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen me now to carry your son. I am waiting in a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear. In a world as cold as stone, must I walk this path alone? Be with me now, be with me now. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, do you wonder as you watch my face if a wiser one should have had my place? But I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan. Help me be strong, help me be strong. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, hold me together, be forever near me. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness, for you are holy. Breath of heaven, breath of heaven, breath of heaven.
From the time Gabriel told Mary and Joseph they had been chosen by God, they faced many difficult situations. The journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem was long and dangerous. When they entered Bethlehem, they were unable to find a room. They were given permission to stay in the stable where animals were kept. In this unlikely place, God's Son was born.
Shining, it is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long
world in sin and error pining, he till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
After settling the flocks for the night, the shepherds stretched out to rest in the field. In the silence of the beautiful night, the stars seemed to dance in heaven. Suddenly, the shepherds noted a great bright star. Although shepherds had tended flocks for so many years, it was unusual to see a different star so distinct and so bright. The light in the night grew brighter. Voices of the heavenly hosts filled the air with praises, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." When the angels left the shepherds left their flocks and went to the stable, where they found Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. Wise men of the East, probably scientists of that day, also noticed the unusual star. They knew of prophecies of a king to be born and started a lengthy journey to find the king. They came to Jerusalem looking for the little king. Herod's staff told them the child would be in Bethlehem. Then the star which they had seen reappeared and led them to the house where Joseph and his family were staying. When they saw the child Jesus, they presented gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and departed another way for their homes.
After Jesus Christ was born, some wise men from the east saw the star that welcomed him, and he slept on his beast. And the candles sparked, and the wise men looked, and the stars began to sing. From a distant land, from the
we've just heard the Christmas story told through song and narrative. If you're like me, you've heard it over and over again. It is great to see the children excited to help tell the story of Jesus' birth. But the story is more than a miracle conception. It's more than a stable and a baby born there. It's more than shepherds. It's more than wise men. It's more than angels and an unusual star. When you understand what's going on behind the scene, it's exciting. Our narrative started out with the bad news. There would need to be some plan of redemption. We are all sinners. I am. Pastor Lee is. Everyone, except for Jesus Christ. All humans are sinners. God's holiness demands that there be payment for sin. We can never pay our sin debt. And God cannot ignore our sin, or else he would cease to be holy. That leaves us in a bad position, between a rock and a hard place. But the story doesn't end there. The good news of Jesus is that God provided a way to pay for our sin debt. I read these verses at my house on Christmas Day before we open presents. It's Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant,
and was made in the likeness of men. That's the story we just heard. He became human. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that every knee, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The mind of Christ is humility and love. The verse says, these verses say that Jesus did not think that equality with God was something to be grasped, or that it was robbery for him to consider himself that. Both the Gospel of John and the book of Colossians in the first chapter affirm that Jesus is God. 100% God from eternity past to eternity future. These passages also state clearly that Jesus was the agent of creation. In Philippians it says that he was found in the likeness of man. He was incarnated. At that point of conception in Mary's womb, Jesus not only was 100% God, but he became 100% human. I was listening to Dr. David Jeremiah this past summer, spring, when we were shut down, and he made the comment, and I'd never thought about that. Jesus became human at the incarnation, but he will always be human. 100% God, 100% man. And Jesus lived a sinless life. He learned obedience. He became obedient even unto the point of death. Hebrews 4:15 states that we have a high priest who can sympathize with us, because he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. On that cross, Jesus was separated from God. He called out, "My God, my God." Why have you forsaken me? And that's the true penalty for sin, is being separated from God. Jesus experienced that penalty for me and for you. Jesus will come again, and he will set up an everlasting kingdom. And every knee will bow, and every tongue confess. Do you believe in the Jesus of the Bible, who has always been God, but became human for one purpose? Pay for our sins. Are you seeking to live how Jesus wants you to live? In Peter's sermon at the conclusion of it in Acts, he said, "This Jesus whom you crucified has become both Lord and Savior." Are you resting in the finished work of Jesus on the cross? Probably one of the most familiar verses in Scripture is John 3:16. Christians know it. Non-Christians know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it goes on to say, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The real meaning of Christmas is that the holy God of creation humbled himself and came in the likeness of man. And this incarnation had one and only one outcome. That was the cross. Do you know him as Savior and Lord this morning? I urge you, if you do not trust in what Jesus did to pay for your sins, come see me, see Pastor Lee, any number of people here in this church can help you explore how to become a believer in Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, when I think of what Jesus gave up, the glory of heaven, to be confined to a human body that is weak and subject to death, and they did it willingly because of his great love for mankind, I'm overwhelmed and I feel unworthy. But I thank you for that sacrifice. I thank you for the Christmas story and how it reminds us that Jesus came for a purpose. I pray, Father, that if there is someone here today that has not trusted in Jesus as Savior and Lord, that your Spirit would use these few words that I've spoken in your Scripture to bring them to faith in Jesus Christ. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.